Okay, we're launching on the 5th of Iyar. Our first, God willing, first cycle of the daily Rambam, and we're starting with the first section, which is the Hakdama of the Rambam to the Mishneh Torah. And we're using the, or at least I am, I very much recommend everybody use, the new Yemenite Rambam with the Biur, which is designed specifically for guiding a project just like this. As we move on, we'll talk more about this very wonderful book. But a lot of what I'm saying is stuff that I've been learning with Rosenthal, with Yaakov, with many other people for many, many years. And I must say I was extremely, extremely pleased to see how much of it is really summarized in this Rambam. I would never have dreamed that. But that's a topic that we'll perhaps talk about as we move on. To the introduction of the Rambam. So the Hakdama of the Rambam to the Mishneh Torah essentially deals with the very name Mishneh Torah itself, which goes to the issue of what the entire book is about. The entire book is about a Mishneh Torah project. So what is a Mishneh Torah? So I don't want to go into it too much because the Hakdama itself explains what the Mishneh Torah is. But to a certain degree, to understand the Hakdama at all, we need to have some sense of Mishneh Torah. And, the Rambam is expecting that one has some sense of the term Mishneh Torah as one comes in, one knows the book is called Mishneh Torah. And he crystallizes, or as Mivayer, he crystallizes the true underlying concept of Mishneh Torah in his Hakdama. So what is the Mishneh Torah? What's our first thought, our first hypothesis? Our Machshav Rishon, our first thought about the Mishneh Torah. So the Mishneh Torah makes reference to the Mishneh Torah of the king, that the king, every Jew, has to write for himself a Torah, and the king has to write a Mishneh Torah, another Torah. And importantly, the Mishneh Torah has the sense of the second Torah, which the king writes for himself. But there's another sense of that, and that is that second Torah, which the king has. Chazal point to it as being something else, namely referring specifically to the Sefer Dvarim, and specifically even more so to the fact that the king should read the Mishneh Torah to the people. So much so that the Book of Dvarim, which is the first king, ultimately the first king of Israel, namely Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the first who had a kingly status, though he wasn't actually a reigning king in the land. Sefer Dvarim really encapsulates conceptually what Mishneh Torah is about, which is to say a summation of all the Torah that has gone before him. So I think that the most important sense of the word Mishneh Torah is a summation of the Torah. And but a summation, not in the sense of convenience, but a summation in the sense of a attaining of a certain maturity of systemic thought. If a summation is to truly be worth its anything, it should take work which has been done over many, many years and systematize it into a subject, systematize it into a coherent totality. And that sense of the maturity of learning that which the Jews have been undergoing since Sinai in mitzvos was growing and growing and growing, and it had hit a certain quantum, a certain turning point where it could be called a Mishneh Torah. And that Mishneh Torah turning point is when the subject of Torah had attained a logical unity and coherence that all of its parts could not only be known necessarily and wisely and logically to Moshe Rabbeinu, but his teaching reached that point where he could convey that. he could convey that sense of unity of the Torah to the entire people, such that that became a distinct phenomenon that people could tell and see that their learning of mitzvot had reached a Mishneh Torah character. Just to say, it had reached a subject-level unity, a logical unity, where all the parts fit into a coherent whole. And that sense of logical maturity of Mishneh Torah, which is the job of the Baal Mesorah of every generation to achieve, because it's not a static thing. It's a dynamic state of affairs where the knowledge of the Torah exists at that level in the mind of the leadership of the people, that not only they know it themselves, but they can communicate it to the people in the sense that every single Jew can be educated in that sense, that Mishneh Torah sense of the mitzvot, where he at his own level perceives the unified unity of the subject, in the same sense that a PhD student sees the unity of physics, or a chemistry PhD sees the unity of chemistry. Doesn't mean he has the level of knowledge of an Einstein or a founder of chemistry, but the field has the capacity to give over to its to every member of the field a systematic understanding of the subject. That is the Mishneh Torah concept that we come into to the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. The Rambam's book is designed to present, in a certain very important sense, his Mishneh Torah concept, his unity of the field, which he wants to endow every member of the Jewish people with, so that each one of us can have a systematic understanding of Torah mitzvahs. With that in mind, I'll start the Hakdama, because the Hakdama goes to the issue of the challenges of this. It goes into the history of this occurring with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mesorah, the first organizer of Torah into a Mishneh Torah concept, namely Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it goes into the challenges intrinsic to that maintaining itself over time. But now to the first Baal Mesorah who gives over the Mishneh Torah level of conception. It begins with two psukim, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam, and Az Lo Evosh Ba'Biti Al Kol Mitzvosecha. And I would argue that the reason for this is that the Mishneh Torah conception necessarily contains two elements in the elegance of its organization and the maturity of its organization. One is associated with Avram Avinu, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam, and the other is associated with David HaMelech in Tehillim, who says, Az Lo Yivosh Ba'Biti Yalkom Mitzvosecha. What are those two features that the Mishneh Torah presentation brings into maturity? So the system of thought of Torah necessarily has two fundamental elements, a theoretical element and a practical applied element. Avram Avinu represents the theoretical element of the Torah. And as the Taimonim nicely point out, the theoretical element of the Torah as something which special people need to bring about, to reawaken in the nation. So not only was Avram Avinu a person who first established the concept of Hashem Hashem, that there is a Hashem who manifests himself in a unified wisdom that the whole cosmos and man finds himself part of. But he did so in a manner of reawakening that concept in a dark age. So one element that the Rambam wants to bring out is that the Torah has the capacity and must awaken in mankind, in a resistant mankind, the concept of Hashem in its systematic Mishneh Torah presentation. The systematic order of the mitzvot must galvanize a concept of the Shem Hashem, which calls out not just to Jews, but to all of humanity as the foundation stone of Mada. That is, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, the theoretical dimension of the Mishneh Torah organization. The other dimension of the organization is a practical one. The Mishneh Torah organization has to have that coherence of system where every person can perceive how the Torah's education illuminates his life, endows it with meaning, and releases him from an otherwise uneducated, ignorant, boorish existence. And that's what David HaMelech, that's the king, the theoretical perspective is the founder, Avram Avinu, the founder of the Shem Hashem concept for all of humanity. The other is the perspective of the king of Israel, David, who illuminates the nation, the citizen body of citizens, brings them together with his Mesorah in a way that each and every one of them perceives how the systematic order of the Torah gives them an education in living life that releases us from the indignity of acting based upon myth, acting based upon habit, acting based upon superstition, and the failures that necessarily follow from that. So those are the two dimensions. As lo yavush be'al biti yakom et v'secha, I'm sorry, b'shem Hashem kel olam, the call to humanity of the theoretical foundations of the Torah, which overcome man's resistance to knowledge. And as lo yavush be'al biti yakom et v'secha, the systematic order removes the indignity of man in the practical world of acting without a knowledgeable way of life. I now go to the halacha. All the mitzvos of this Mishneh Torah mitzvah system were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. As it says, I will give to you the tablets of stone, the luchos, the Torah mitzvah, and the Torah and the mitzvah. Torah, the Torah shebiksav. Torah, in this pasuk, implies the written Torah. Mitzvah, zo perusha. The mitzvah is the research into this Torah, which reveals the activities of life, the obligatory activities of life, to the mind. Torah va mitzvah. The tzivanu lasos a Torah. We are obligated to. He commanded us to implement the Torah, al pi mitzvah, in accordance with the mitzvah method of research. The mitzvah zu, and this mitzvah, he nekreis Torah shebal peh. This is called the Torah shebal peh. So the Mishneh Torah order is an order which arises in an investigation of mitzvahs, of a subject of things of mitzvah. And as we understand these mitzvah things, we understand their theoretical nature more and more clearly, until we reach a level of clarity of definitions where we can perceive how the entirety of the whole systemic way of life of man, as governed by mitzvahs, reduces to a necessary set of concepts, and one can see the complete subject of man's life of serving Hashem through mitzvah. This is the Mishneh Torah. But the Mishneh Torah begins with an exploration of individual mitzvahs. And interestingly enough, this exploration of individual mitzvahs begins with perceiving these mitzvahs in their storyline existence of the Torah. I want to illustrate that in one case. And of course, the Taryag mitzvahs, each and every one of them has its own case, but I want to give one exemplary case, and that is Pesach. So the mitzvah of Pesach, be it Korban Pesach, be it Achilas Matzos, be it Achilas Marorim, emerge clearly from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the first Korban Pesach can clearly be seen in part of the narrative, in the story of the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim event. So there's a level. There's a level of understanding the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, of perceiving the actual story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and where Korban Pesach fit into that. And there's a lot that can be learned from that. The Korban Pesach was part of the system of Makos. The various plagues came, starting with the first and ending with the tenth of the Makos Becharos. And the mitzvah Korban Pesach was intertwined with differentiating the Jews from the Egyptians to the extent that we didn't partake of the Makos Becharos. But you can immediately perceive that there's a very big difference between seeing the mitzvah Korban Pesach as Torah versus seeing it as mitzvah. To see it as Torah is to see the external description of the mitzvah as it fits in at the level of the storyline of the Torah. And one sees it to a certain extent. It protected us from the Makos Becharos. It differentiates from being an Egyptian. It showed our rejection of Avodah Zarah in a vague way. But no one would say that they are qualified to define what mitzvah Korban Pesach is and actually do it in the Mikdash based upon reading the Torah Shebiksav. There's a categoric gap. So that abstract definition of exactly what the Korban Pesach is that the Torah is talking about, and the systematizing of all of its halachos, that's mitzvah. The Torah is seeing Korban Pesach in the storyline. The mitzvah is seeing its abstract nature as we are guided to it by the Torah Shabbat. Torah v'mitzvah. But one can immediately see that each mitzvah could have its component part, narrative part, where it arises, be it Shabbos, be it it's seen in Mara, it's seen at Sinai. So each mitzvah has its starting point. Just like we had our starting point with what does Mishneh Torah mean, each mitzvah has its starting point, and that is an understanding of the mitzvah as an activity which occurs in the storyline. But that can move towards abstraction until an individual mitzvah is seen, like the Korban Pesach, but it can also grow. The Korban Pesach is part of a Korban system, part of an Avodah system. So, and the Avodah system has its place in the 14 books of the Rambam in the system of all mitzvahs. So one starts with individual mitzvahs arising from a narrative of seeing that mitzvah illustrated in the storyline of the Torah, until we abstract it from its storyline of the Torah to see it as an abstract entity in its own right, and then it attains Mishneh Torah systematicity when we see this Korban Pesach not just released from the particulars of the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just that we see all the halachic activities that go into doing the Korban Pesach, not even as we see it as part of a system of avodas korbanos, but we see it as the component part of a totality of concepts which unite just not just Korban Pesach to the korbanos, which show Korban Pesach as a component, first part of a Taryag Mitzvah system that one understands in its totality. That is the Mishneh Torah understanding, which ultimately can arise from very rudimentary beginnings of Torah u'mitzvah. So each mitzvah first was an intuition that was seen at a story level that was growing towards a mitzvah, and at the end of the Midbar experience became Mishneh Torah, became reviewed and summarized and brought to a level of theoretical coherence, where the entire Torah, the entire Taryag Mitzvahs could be perceived as a unified system. Base. Kol HaTorah, K'sava Moshe Rabbeinu Kodem Sheyamus, V'K'sav Yadav. So all the Torah, which is to say the written Torah, the Bible, the biblical story with the mitzvahs in it, K'sava Moshe Rabbeinu Kodem Sheyamus, V'K'sav Yadav. He wrote it with his own handwriting before he died. V'nasan Sefer Torah L'chol Shevet V'Shevet. He gave a book of Torah, a Torah scroll, to every tribe. V'Sefer Echad N'Sanel Bo'aron L'Eid. And one, the 13th Torah, he put in the Aron as a testimony. Sh'ne'amar L'kalach HaSefer Torah Zeh. As it says, take this Sefer Torah. V'Samtem Aso Mitzad Aron B'ris Hashem Elokeichem V'Hashem B'chal Eid. So some Sefarim were for the establishing of the learning of the tribes. One was a national one, to be an indicator, not of the learning of the tribes, but of the very nature of the learning itself. And both of those pointed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because the Mishneh Torah ultimately can never transcend its original form, the Mishneh Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the uniqueness of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the foundation stone of all Masorah is the completeness of the subject which Moshe Rabbeinu himself communicated at that time. Everything which comes after that point is an extension building upon that foundational primordial superstructure. And to indicate that attachment and connection to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah was written by the very hand of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu could not physically be in this world eternally. He was going to die. But the Torah, which he wrote, could be a sign and an indicator of the centrality of Moshe Rabbeinu to the entire process from its very, very beginning. The entire process of moving from a first-order description of what is mitzvah activity in the service of Hashem activity to individual mitzvahs, to a Mishneh Torah system of mitzvahs, all of it begins with Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. That process cannot exist without the Torah guidance of the book that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, from Nevuah from Hashem, and the instruction in that book, which crystallized the understanding into the Torah Mitzvah system. Gimel. The mitzvah, she perish a Torah, the mitzvah, which is the theoretical research into the Torah, lok sova, Moshe Ben did not write it. Elatziva bal is gainably Yeshua l'shar Yisko Israel, but rather, he commanded through it to this Gainim and to Yeshua and all of Israel. In other words, he showed and developed and illuminated the, to use the example of the Korban Pesach, he illuminated what it means to do a Korban Pesach such that it could be a practically actionable obligation. Tzivaba, he showed the manner in which to understand it such that it was a practically actionable activity. He did that not just the Korban Pesach, but with every one of the 613 mitzvahs and in how they interconnected into a conceptual order. He commanded it to Zgenim and Yeshua and all of Israel. Shneamar eskol adavar asher nachim tzaveschem osot yishmer lasos lo sosef alav lo sigram menu. The operative term here is eskol adava. The davar is that knowledge which not just is known in the mind, but can exist as a field of knowledge. It can be which is speech. It's a davar. It's a spoken field. So the entire davar which I command you today, you should keep it as a theoretical order, which we are all speaking about, which I have established the speech of, the educational speech of, the terms of. That's what we should keep. That's why it's called Torah Shebal Peh. It's not written down. It's imprinted upon the people in the sense of perceiving the conceptual order that arises from the understanding of the concepts first illustrated in the Torah Shebal Peh. Dalit. And here we shift from the substance and essence of the Masorah as an ideational system that was and can only be and ever will be the product of Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu alone, to that which can be preserved from that over time, even through learning, which is not done through Moshe Rabbeinu directly, but indirectly by those who preserve his teaching. Afal pishl nechtav Torah Shebal Peh, even though Torah Shebal Peh was not written, Limda Moshe Rabbeinu Kula Beis Dina L'Shavim Zgenim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it over in his court to the 70th Zgenim. Ve'elazar Pinchas V'Yeshua Shloshtan Kibul Moshe. So Elazar Pinchas Yeshua, all three received from Moshe. Uli Yoshua, Shu Talmidu Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu. So to Yoshua, who's the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, Masar Torah Shebal Peh V'Tivo Alea. So even though many people were taught, there's a very big difference in the teaching of Gimel and Dalit. Gimel is a practical teaching that the whole people had. Dalit is a theoretical teaching which was limited to the Beis Din and anybody else who wanted to come to the Beis Din, but it wasn't the whole people. It was whoever, it was the Beis Din, those who wanted to come to the Beis Din, where the mitzvah shifted from being that at that level of knowledge which is practically necessary to be applied to the everyday life to that which is necessary to be completely understood as a theoretical system. But even in that, there were two levels. There was Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua, who were Mekabel. They received the order. But one of them, Yeshua, he was got a Mesorah. He didn't just learn the Torah. He didn't just understand it theoretically as totality. It was given over to him as a responsibility to be the Baal Mesorah who would teach it, who would be the leader, and who would see to it that the whole nation has a unified understanding of the Torah as a field. Tzivo alea. And that's what that's the Teiman Nimsi as well. Tzivo alea. Natan la samchut lahavir ha-mesorot ledorot ha-bayim. He gave him the authority to give over the Mesorah to the generations to come. And that was a one-time event. To a certain extent, what we call Mesorah, the word Mesorah is a misnomer. There is no Mesorah. There was one and one Mesorah only, and that was from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua. From Yeshua onward, Tzivo Alea, he is the only Mesorah. Because Mesorah is the transition from teaching from the only person who really knows Torah as it really is, which is the unique Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, to anyone who is a non-Moshe Rabbeinu. And there only was, therefore, one Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu to non-Moshe Rabbeinu. And who was this non-Moshe Rabbeinu? That was Yeshua. So everything from Yeshua and onwards is categorically something else than what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. Because what happened between Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua was a Masora, was the giving over of Torah, which by its nature is known as a Nevuas Moshe, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is the teacher of it, to a something else, a form of that, which is that understanding of the teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu, which some non-Moshe individual has, namely Yeshua, which can then be transmitted eternally past the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is why, at this point on, there's no more Masora, there's Kabbalah. Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu is Moser Torah to you. And finally, everybody else is Makabo from Yeshua. Because Kabbalah is that the Masora of Torah from Nevuas Moshe Shef, Masora is to say Yeshua. Everybody receives from Yeshua, thereby extending the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu. But everybody is the exact same level as Yeshua insofar as a non-Moshe Rabbeinu student who understands the teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu to whatever degree we understand it. Hey, Uzgenim Rabbim Kiblu Mi Yeshua, many Uzgenim received from Yeshua. Kibel Eli Min Uzgenim, Eli received from Uzgenim, Pinchas, Shmuel Kibel Mi Eli Min Beis Dino, the David Kibel Mi Shmuel Beis Dino, V'ach Yashilonim Mi Yotzim Yitram Ayev, Levi Yav Shmuel Mi Moshe, V'yakotim Bim Mi Moshe, V'u Kibel Mi David Beis Dino. Many elders received from Yeshua. Eli received from Uzgenim, from Pinchas, Shmuel received from Eli, David received from Shmuel and his Beis Din. Achia Shiloni was himself someone who came from Mitzrayim, and he was a Levi, heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, but he only was Makabel from David and Beis Din. So the Kabbalah moves forward. And it moves from Yeshua to a system of Mekabli Mesora. Now, not every one of these people, as we're going to see later in Chaf, is equal. But the Rambam it first describes the process of study of the field, and then he crystallizes and isolates the most important and seminal figures in that Mesora system. Not every person who is mentioned is truly fundamental to the Masora of the field. He might have been instrumental, but he wasn't necessarily fundamental. Vav. Eliyahu kibel mi'achi shiloni u'beis dino, v'elisha kibel mi'eliyahu u'beis dino. Eliyahu received from Achia shiloni u'beis dino, and Elisha received from Eliyahu and from his court. And I think, I'm not going to go into this too much, but why do we even need to know this? I think fundamentally it's necessary for a variety of reasons. One of them just to know that there was a Masora, but more than that, to give a basis for perceiving and connecting the descriptions of these people, be it in Tanakh, be it in the Mishnah, be it in the Gemara, to get a sense of what their contribution was to the subject, to the field of Masora. It's particularly obvious in someone like Eliyahu. Eliyahu is a figure that we see a lot of in the Tanakh. So we can connect that and utilize that to perceive what sort of role he had in the Masora based upon the descriptions of him in the Nevi'im. Eliyahu received from Achia Shiloni from his Beis Din, Elisha received from Eliyahu and his Beis Din, Yoyada Cohen received from Elisha and his Beis Din, Zechariah received from Yoyada and his Beis Din. And I think we're going to skip now because I'm not going to really add anything here except for Ezra, who was a particularly seminal individual. What's happening here in general is identifying how various people contributed to the intellectual transmission of these ideas, but I just want to identify Ezra as a particularly important individual. Antigonus is well known. I'm not going to skip ahead all the way to Yudbeis, to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh Chiber HaMishnah. Now, up until this point, there's a depiction of the individuals who are involved, but nothing really dramatic changes in the very dramatic changes in the personalities and what they contributed intellectually, but not in the very nature of Masora of the Kabbalah itself. Rabbeinu HaKadosh Chiber HaMishnah Yudbeis. Umimos Moshe Rabbeinu Ad Rabbeinu HaKadosh Lo Chibru Chibur Shemelam Denoso Barabim Betersh Balpet Ella the Choldor Vador, Rosh based in Vinavi Shia Beosa Ador, Coast of Latzma Zikron Shmuel Shashami Nu Abosa. So in every generation, the based in or the prophet, it was in that generation, would write the remembrance of the Shmuos that he received from his teachers. And he would teach Alpeh to everybody. I just want to call attention to the fact that whereas in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, all there was Perushim, now there starts to be more things. There's Shmuos, and we're going to see there's now Biurim. V'chein kol echad ve'echad kosev latzmo kafi kocho mi'bira torum hilchoseah. So there's Perushim that people hear from their rabbis, and there's Biurim of the Torah and Halachas that people write for themselves. So the certain dinim weren't directly derivative from the Shmuos themselves, but rather had become decided from the Yud Gimel Midos over the generations. I just want to make one point about this. What is this Shmuos? What is this Biur? So, over time, what's the difference between them and a Perush? So over time, what happens is that the knowledge of the field divides into educational principles and cases and explanations of terms in the Torah. So I'll give an example of that. So Rav Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, Rav Shmuel both said, Kol Sheyesh Bo Chamesh Minim, anything has 5 minim in it, you say, Birkas Birdman is out. That's a Shmuel. So what's the idea there? So a din is, so that an application of that is, that if you have a particular dish that has flour in it. So anything which has flour from one of the heiminim, you say berminim zonos. It's a din that if you have a flour that is not used to as an ingredient, but is used as a glue to create a consistency in the food, that you wouldn't say a berminim zonos. So the theoretical concept of the centrality of the heimine dagan, that's a shmua. There's many, many, many applications to that. But the concept by which we apply that to a particular case, which shows a certain borderline, well, what constitutes eating heiminim? So what, it has to at least be an ingredient. If it's not an ingredient, it's just a entity, a stabilizing entity, which gives a thickness to a soup or to a food, then it's no longer an ingredient, then the principle of Rav and Shmuel no longer applies. But the Shmua of Rav and Shmuel is not a Perush. Why is it not a Perush? Because though it establishes an important educational principle about how we understand flour and the building blocks of bread, it isn't at the mitzvah level. It's educationally useful to clarify important halachas, but it's not yet at the level of abstraction where we see where that comes from as a mitzvah. What would you need to be a Perush? To be a Perush, one would have to see how the concept of flour being always the ikkar in a dish comes from one of the 613. And specifically, in this particular case, one would have to see how it derives from benching, how it derives from the centrality of bread, that it is the only thing which we bench on according to the Torah, that bread is made out of heiminim. Heiminim are therefore productive of bread, which is a fundamental food more significant than the other. So a derivative of that is that essential nature of being ingredients that can make bread will express itself in another way. Namely, they will always be ikker. As long as they're an ingredient, there'll be an ikker in the mix. The perush is that which shows how a concept is not just important for halachos in a particular area, like saying mizonos on any flour, but going deeper to see how the fact that a flour is always the ikker in a tavshil derives from the core theoretical underpinning of Torah, namely the Birkas HaMazon, which is a mitzvah from the Torah. So in the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, there were many shmuas, there were many principles like anything which has in its flour, is the flour is liquor, and you say Birbinim Zonos. But the there was a building process by which that would become a perush, by which one would show how that is not only explanatory of a localized halacha, but goes back to a growing sense of how the Torah is productive of a Taryag Mitzvah system. Now, what happened in the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh is he collected all these shmuos and made a mission out of them rather than leaving it in the hands of the professors who had their own collections of shmuos, and the students who had their own base, their own method of translating these shmuos into a learning of the Torah on their process of becoming masters of the Torah, who understood the Perush, who understood how the various shmuos at their abstract level became an understanding of the Taryag Mitzvahs and application to all things. Not only understanding what Mizonos is, but seeing how the blessing of Mizonos connects to the particular mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, and how Birkas HaMazon ties into an entire system of Taryag, which is applicable to all Shmuos. But that requires a very, very intense educational system of Rebbeim, whose Shmuos are very, very crisp and clear and well-organized in their mind, who are guiding the community of students who are writing their notes about the psukim and are connecting their halachos to be able to connect the brain name Zonas to the pasuk of Achalta Svata Barachta on their way to becoming a person who knows Taryag Mitzvahs. That is a very high order. So at the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that was starting to fall apart. The ability of the community to sustain the growth of people from reading the mitzvos in the Torah to going through the Shmuos, to attaining the Mishnah Torah order of clarity that the Masorah is supposed to be attaining, was beginning to fall apart. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote up the Mishnah, which summarized the Shmuos in a coherent fashion, to ease that transition, of moving the people through the process of the Mishnah Torah process. And I think, yeah, we've gone past our time. But that's the essential point that I want to make. And tomorrow at 7 o'clock, everybody can read Yud Zayin, Yud Chet, Yud Tet, and the Chaf themselves. But there's interesting material there. But the next conceptual point we're going to be going into is the Talmud and ultimately the Mishnah Torah itself. How it came to be that a Masorah system, which begins with Moshe Rabbeinu, continues through Moshe Rabbeinu, through Golas begins to lose its ability to translate learning of the Torah to attain its proper Mishnah Torah conception. The theoretical conception of Mishnah Torah level, which created a Beis Din which knew the Taryag Mitzvahs and was able to maintain a sense of system for the entire people, was beginning to fall apart. The first antidote to that was the Mishnah, but that was not going to be able to complete the solution to the problem. And next tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we'll go into Chafalef through Lamed, where the Rambam begins to explain the need for a Mishnah Torah of of another kind, moving through the Talmud, and then ultimately the day after that, not just the Talmud, but the Mishnah Torah, which is his own book. Okay, I'll stop at this point. Sorry, I went a little bit over the time. I think that we will be able to go a little faster in the future, but the first time when we're just consolidating the very first principles of the Mishnah Torah itself went a little bit longer. All right, I'm going to turn off the recording now. I'll be available for a couple minutes, maybe if there's any question. And I'm also always available by email for those who might want to continue on that, some element of what we brought up. I'll be right back.